Okay, this week is Parashas Emor. There are a lot of things going on in this week's parasha. It's very long. It's a long parasha. There are many different inyanim. A good chunk of the parasha discusses the Moadim, all of the Moadim. The beginning of the parasha discusses the laws of the Kohanim, who they may or may not contaminate to upon death. And then it discusses all of the disqualifications of Kohanim. If they have blemishes, all the various blemishes, then we go into the Moadim, and we go in there in the parasha is the Mekalel. Okay, a very frightening story about a person who was upset. And Vayetze ben Isha Yisraelis hu ben Ish mitzri b'sech ben Isha vayinotz machmeh. And it says there, Vayikoiv ben ho Isha ha-Yisraelis es Hashem vayikalel. There's a whole story at the end of the parasha, a whole separate story. There are other things as well, a lot of different things mixed in. So let's just try to discuss a few things. And let's begin with a very beautiful Vav that I came across. I don't remember the name of the Sefer. I saw this yesterday. I should have paid more attention. I don't remember the name of the Sefer, but it's not my Vav. But I enjoyed very much. It's a little bit, it's not 100% literal, but it's a short Vav. Parasha begins, Emor el ha-koyhanim. Rashi is bothered. Why does it say two words? Emor vi-omarta. Emor el ha-koyhanim b'nei aharon vi-omarta. What's the repetition of the word emor v'omarta alehem? Rashi says emor v'omarta lehashir gidolim al haketanim. That the simply means that the adults should teach the children. Don't let your children be raised like weeds and just let them out into the wild. Okay? Chinuch habanim is to supervise. To supervise and to be mass here, you have to know where your child is. It's 10 p.m. Where is your child? Today the joke is, it's 10 a.m. Do you know where your child is? Okay, that's the joke. It's not a joke. It's a bit of a galechta where it used to be, it's 10 p.m. Do you know where your child is? To this generation, it's 10 a.m. Do you know where your child is? A bit of galechta, but lahazir gidoylim al hakitanim. That the gidoylim don't assume anything. Make sure lahazir you guard for dear life your children. And you know exactly what they're doing in every moment. I once spoke to a mechanic, and I told him if I was growing up in this generation, I told him I wouldn't survive a day. I really wouldn't. All the nisyonos, what's available today, what's going on, I wouldn't survive a day. How do you do it? So he said to me that until 8th grade, we have the ability to basically monitor every second of their life. He says, it's in our hands. He said, a responsible yeshiva can monitor children from the moment, 24-7, until about 8th grade. After 8th grade, it is impossible. There is no yeshiva in the whole world that can control a child. They're on their own. They go to yeshiva, this, that, and all. Then they're on their own. You do the best that you can. But if they want to do what they want to do, they'll do whatever they want to do. No way impossible. So we hope that we give them the critical years to give children a chinuch is while they're under our grasp, while they're under our control. Then we can control them. We can monitor their every move, whatever, anything that they see. And if we give them a healthy upbringing with, you know, a healthy balance of what they need, what they don't need, and guard them and fill them with Yiras Shemayim, we hope and pray that when they get into a 9th grade, or once they graduate 8th grade, they'll have enough seichel not to do foolish things and wind up in trouble. So, Lahazir gidoylim al haketanim. All comes from this pasuk. Don't make any assumptions. Don't think that, I have a child, and just, that's it. I don't have to be home, do nothing, let them do whatever they want, they'll be okay. They're good kids. There's no such thing. You have to guard, you have to be very, very careful. It's a very dangerous world. That's what it says here in the Rashi. So I saw another sefer, he says something very beautiful. He says, that's one pshat. I'll give you another pshat. Another pshat is, lahazir gidoylim al haketanim. We're not discussing children. We're discussing, talk to yourself. There are things in your life there are people that are very great people, but there are things in your life that you consider to be insignificant. not every part of your life do you think to be so critical to your spirituality. No, if I don't daven ma'ariv with a minyan, so I don't daven ma'ariv with a minyan. If I daven, do I actually say every word? Do I say psukim the zimmer? Do I skip? I come to shul, my child is sitting next to me. Do I say every word of psukim the zimmer? I'm in a habit, I skip every day half of psukim the zimmer. Do I say kribonis? Big deal. No one does these things anyway. Not everyone is so meticulous in every aspect. Do I speak of ak lashon hara? I didn't kill anyone. So I said, I made a joke. I just had a little negativity towards someone else. Big deal. Everyone does this. You're great people. You've accomplished incredible things. You're a Rosh Hashiva. You're a Dayan. You're an outstanding member of society. You're an Askan. You've been given the award to be an Askan, the title of an Askan. You're a Gadol. But if you're a Gadol, Lahazir, you should be careful about the small things in your life. Don't let a small area of your life destroy you. Lahazir Gidoilim, to warn great people, every person is great in their own right, Al Hakitanim, regarding the matters of your life that you consider to be insignificant, unimportant. And the Pasuk here says that's a big mistake. There's nothing that's not significant in the life of a great person. And every one of you are great people. And therefore, a gadol has to pay attention to the ketanim, to the small things that other people consider to be insignificant in their life. And now, the sefer, very so beautifully, he says, and guess what? What Rashi says, this vart, are really two sides of the same coin. Because the ketanim, your children, what do they really learn from? Do they grow up and are trained from watching their parents give a daf yomi shir? My father gave a daf yomi shir every single day. I saw my own eyes. He gave a daf yomi shir. I saw my father. He got in front of the podium and he's a big bal chesed. I saw him on Purim give out $1 million of tzedakah. I saw my father every Shabbos going Tomche Shabbos to deliver. He was part of the Chevre Kadisha. My father was a member of Hatzolah. He went out every middle of the night. He went on a Hatzolah mission. So the child grows up. That's my model. He's my hero. He's my source of Yirah Shemayim. Look how great he was. Guess what? That's not what the child learns from. The child takes all of those big things. He puts them in the bottom shelf. The things that make an impression upon the ketanim, the children, are the small things in your life. If they watch you bench like a mensch, they watch that you go out, you daven ma'ariv with a minyan, the things you daven, you come to shul, he sits next to you and he sees you say every word of psukei d'zimra. The things that other people consider to be ketanim, when your child, the katan, sees how you deal with the matters that are ketanim, that is truly what proves what you're worth and makes the biggest impression. Dr. Fruchter, please. That truly is what makes the impression upon a child. So these two ideas really are two sides of the same coin. You want to be mazir, to warn the adults regarding their children. What do? You beat them up, you take out a whip, and you beat your child into shape? It doesn't work. You know how you're able to be mazir the ketanim? It's if you talk to yourself, and we're mazir you to be concerned with the small, insignificant things in your life. When you are responsible and deal with little things in your life in a dignified way, with Yirah Shamayim, then, in essence, what you're really doing is you're being masir, you're teaching your children who are watching to emulate you and to be true Yorei Shemayim. Because it's the small things in life which make the biggest impression upon people who are watching you, not the big things, which is glamour, and you're in the newspaper and you get all the kavod. You're not getting kavod for saying every word of Psukei D'Zimra, every Shabbos and Shabbos out. You're not going to get the COVID for behaving like a normal mensch behind closed doors where no one sees you. Those are the things which make the greatest impression upon people. Okay, let's go to another idea. We'll jump around a little bit. Let's jump around to an idea to the Moadim. It's very unique, Parashas Emor, to get a tour of the entire year, all of the Moadim. We go through the year, Shabbos, we spend so much time preparing for Shabbos, Shabbos itself, Mitzvah Shabbos, okay. Shabbos is an industry in and of itself. You have Pesach, you gotta pack, go to Orlando, okay, it's a small fortune just to survive Pesach. Okay, it's a whole world, Pesach. Shavuos, okay, I'm not going to make jokes at every Moed, but you understand. Each one of the Moadim is a world in and of itself. And here we come to Parshas Emor, and we rattle them all off. We have a Shabbos, and a Pesach, and the first day Chol HaMoed. We make a Chol HaMoed trip to the Beis HaMikdash to bring the Omer. And then we have Shavuos, and then we have Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. We go through a whole tour. Each, you realize how fast you're going through. What you're going through, each one of these days is a world in itself. Yet, we have over here an advantage of Parashas Emor. When you go through the Moadim, we don't get to see the big picture. We don't get to compare one Moed to the next. We look at each Moed more or less independently. When it's Pesach, no one's going to get up Pesach and tell you the significance of the Lulav and Esrei. If a rabbi gets up on Pesach and gives you a drasha about the Lulav and Esrei, that rabbi's in trouble. Okay? And if on Sukkot the rabbi gets up and starts telling you about the Manishtana, you know we got a problem. But this week's parasha, we don't. Because in this week's parasha, the Torah is putting them all together. It's giving us an opportunity, a unique perspective to compare one Moed to the next. So let me give you two examples, two things that I came across. Two different ideas. Let's compare one to another. The night of Pesach, how do we begin the little Pesach? Questions. Ma nishtano halayla ze mikol halaylois. Okay, lump questions. Shebechol halaylois anoichlim chametzu matzah halayla haze kuloi matzah. Comes into the sukkah. We should do the same thing. Ma nishtano halayla ze mikol halaylois. Shebechol halaylois. Sometimes we go to a wedding in the Waldorf. And sometimes we have a barbecue out in the mountains. And sometimes we have a regular Shabbos meal at home. And sometimes we are in a Shev Brachas in this hall. Halayla Hazeh was sitting here in a little hut in a canvas sukkah with some psoiles on top of our heads. I'm used to the Waldorf. Beautiful chandelier. The cost of that chandelier we can pay for every sukkah in the whole Flatbush. And here we're sitting in a sukkah in the backyard, psoilus. Cost plenty of money, schachter anyway, but it's psoilus. Psoilus. Why don't we ask the question? We don't even ask the question. We have a very unique vantage point this week's parasha because we compare one to the other. Okay? Another question. By the Haggadah, we learn the Haggadah, there are four banim. Echad Chacham, Echad Rosha, Echad Tam, the Echad She'eino Yodel Lishor. Note the word Echad. It doesn't say K'neged Arboha banim, the four banim. Chacham, Rosha, Tam, She'eino Yodel Lishor. No, that was not good enough for the Baal Haggadah. He wasn't happy just to say that. He had to add the word Echad. Echad Chacham, Echad Rasha, Echad Tam, Echad She'eino Yodel Lishor. Almost as if he's trying to say they're all sitting in different tables. They don't even want to sit together. The four Banim will not sit at the same table. The Chacham will not sit with the Rasha. The Tam will not sit with the She'eino Yodel Lishor. Everyone has to sit at their own table. Echad. When it comes to Sukkot, we have four Minim. And what did Chazal tell us about the four Minim? The Esrog is Kneged, the Tzaddik. He is Mole, Tam V'Reach, Torah, U'maisim Toivim. Everything. The Arava, garnished. Zero. Oisvarf. Has nothing to offer. The Hadasim, it has Reach, but has no tam. Okay, it has no ma'isim toivim. It just has reyach. It has Torah. And what about the lulav? Has tam, but doesn't have any reyach. So they represent different types of Jews. And what do we do with these four different types of Jews? Ulekachtem lochem bayom harishayin aguda achas. They must come together. They must come together. The word echod, echod, echod disappears. So my high. Okay, two questions. Probably ask many more questions. And the answer is, when you get to be able to look at the perspective, the parsha, the mo'adim, from a bird's eye view, like this week's parsha, you learn that the mo'adim is a process. It's a development. It is we mature. As we go through the mo'adim, we mature and we develop. When we start out, Lil Pesach, we're really taking us back before Matan Torah. There's a very fundamental difference between Pesach, Shabbos, and Pesach, and everything that comes after. Because Shabbos and Pesach were given to us before Matan Torah. Was given to us before Matan Torah. And Shavuos is Matan Torah. That's the game changer. And after Matan Torah comes Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippurim, Sukkot, Shmini Atzeres. It's a different stage in our existence, historical existence. So it comes. So it's a process. It's a process of development. When we started out in Pesach, we're immature, like children in the kindergarten. We can't sit together. There's a chacham sits there. Echad chacham. There's a Rasha. I'm not sitting with the Rasha. He's over there. There's a Tam. There's a She'ena Yodea Lishol. We're all very separate. And you know something? We have a lot of questions to ask. Why this? Why that? It's not fair. We have a lot of questions. We're very curious, and we like to pose challenges to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And then, as we mature, we go from Pesach. We go through Svira, we makabel the Torah, and we develop further through the experience of the Yomim Noirohim. We come close to Hashem, we come to the finale, we come to Sukkot. We can all sit together at the same table. We can all aguda achas. We come into the sukkah. There are no questions. The sukkah is an environment of emuna. Tzila dimhem nusa. Let's go back. What is Pesach all about? The whole Lil Seder is all about one issue. Emuna. Open up any Seder. That is the theme of the night. To teach children, to teach yourself emuna in the Ribbono Shel Olam. Really? Is it all about emuna? Why then are we asking so many questions? If a person is a real maimon, you don't ask any questions. You have faith. You have faith. There's nothing to ask. What's all the questions about? And yet when it comes to Sukkot, no one's telling you it's about emuna. And yet, on Sukkot, there's no questions. The answer is because Sukkot, the environment is an environment of emuna. The sukkah is called the tzila dim hemnusa, the shade of faith. Your whole body, your boots, and the mud on your boots have entered into an environment of emuna. When you're in the boat of emuna, there are no questions. When you're sitting at your dining room table and you bring out the most beautiful kalim, you're not in an environment of emuna. It's boot camp. You're learning what emunah means. And when you're learning what emunah means, you start out, you got questions. And when you have questions, there's a lot of tension, there are a lot of issues, there's a lot of disagreement, and people are very separate. It's a process. We go through the process of development and becoming mature and being able to understand other people, being able to deal with issues in a way where we accept Vayidim Aaron. It's a process of going from Pesach all the way through Shavuos, and that's how we change. Now, on this note, this really, it's not really, I saw this Vard and made a very big impression about it. It's a Vard and Chinuch. Just a general Vard and Chinuch, and it made an impression to me with regard to the Dalet meaning. Okay, it's fair game, even though it's not Sukkos, but it's Parashas Emor, and we mentioned already the Dalet meaning, and I saw something which just made a very powerful impression upon me in the world of Chinuch. Today, there's a very big issue in the world of that, what different types of yeshivas. And generally, everyone is striving, if you know the industry, to have a yeshiva for mitsuyanim. That's where all the action is. It's glorious, it's fun, it's satisfying. Okay, it's satisfying for a Rebbe to be able to give over to Talmidim than to be basically just a glorified babysitting service. That's just the way it is. Unfortunately, there are a lot of people who just need to be guarded, and you're not really, the Rebbeim who are very experienced and qualified and spent many years learning, they don't have an opportunity to give over. Because the kid, they're not ready, they're not receptive. And unfortunately, let's go to the others, we have children that are very problematic. Okay, very, very problematic. And the argument is always presented in the yeshivas is we can't take certain types of boys because the bad boys will have a negative influence over the good boys. If you have a boy who comes from a very troubled background and is behaving in a very troubled way, and these are facts, nothing to make believe, it's out in the open, and you put him in a classroom with a boy, a tamima sticker boy, there's a danger. There really is. There's a very big danger that you can't watch him every single second, and you don't know what kind of influence a boy that is problematic will have on a boy that's a pure, solid boy. But on the other hand, the argument is, adarabah, I want to put my boy with your child because I want him to have a positive influence over my child. If I'm going to go put him in a yeshiva where everyone is like him, they'll destroy the world. They'll collaborate. They'll hack in to who knows what. They'll launch nuclear missiles. I want to put my boy with tzaddikim. And the tzaddikim, the good boys, will be mashpia upon my boy. So the parents say, okay, it's a very nice compliment, but I'm afraid that your boy will who's the tug of war? Who's the tug of war? And no one knows what to do. And because no one knows what to do, everyone is afraid. When everyone is afraid, everyone surrenders, and nothing happens. There's just separation. Okay, that's the way it is. You can't change the system. So what's the question? The question is, here's the question. How could it be that when you take the Dalet Minim, we have an Esroig and an Arava. The Esroig is the Tzaddik Yesoid Olam Tamar, the most beautiful, beautiful Esroig money can buy. And we have the Arava. Now the Arava, by the way they sell Aravas today is not the way Aravas are really supposed to be. The Arava is supposed to be drooping, shvach. Today, for business purposes, they make it look beautiful, the Arava. But if you look at big people who know what they're doing, they buy Aravas that are 100% kosher, but they look so shrach. It looks like an oiske klapta Arava. Why? Because the Arava represents the oisvarf. And when you want to have a representation of an oisvarf, you want an oisvarf. You want the real deal. Okay, you have to make sure it's still kosher, because if it's too much of an oisvarf, it's not even a kosher arava, so you have to know what you're doing. Today, it's a business, so no one's really paying too much attention. Everything is watered down. But how can you put together in one aguda an esroig and an arava? Aren't you afraid the arava will damage the esroig? The Aravas Hashpa will influence the Esroik. How could you do this? So the answer I saw, it's an unbelievable answer, and it's so true. And it's unfortunate that people don't believe it's true. Like, I'm just saying big words here, whatever, I'm making believe I know something. Who am I? But the answer is, you know something? If there was only a mitzvah to take two minim, an Esroik and a Lulav, you're 100% correct. You cannot, under any condition, put together an Esroig and a Lulav. You know why? Because we really don't know who will win the tug of war. We really don't know. And if you're a responsible person, you must take precautions. You have to be responsible. Certain general. You got to be responsible. You cannot put together an esrog and a loaf. No way. I'm sorry, a rova and an esrog. It's just too dangerous. We don't know who's going to win. But here's what the Torah says. I'm not asking you to put together an arava and an esrog. I'm adding two more things into the mix. I'm adding in individuals who are in between a hadas and a lulav. This fellow has milus, not 100%. He's okay. He has tam. He's no reach. This one has reach and no tam. When you add that to the mix, it changes the equation totally. And there's no longer any danger that the Rasha, that the Arava will be mashpia on the Esrei. The argument always made in the yeshivas are, in whom I say, I'm not mechina, so none of my business to comment. You go into the classroom, it's a whole different world. But let's just talk in the world of theory. There's truth to this, even though it may not be practical, but there's truth to the concept. If you put, the argument made is, you cannot take this boy into the class, because you take this boy, he will be mashpia on the class. If he was the only evildoer, and everyone else is a tzaddik, then you know you're right, because then the contrast is so great. The contrast, black and white, is so great, it creates a dynamic that may in fact be very dangerous. But when you have there elements of individuals that are in between, it's hard to explain. You probably need a real professional psychologist to explain the psychology of how it works. It changes the dynamics. Adding individuals that are in between, it's not just that they're a buffer. It's more than being a buffer. It completely changes the dynamics of the interaction between the Arava and the Esrei. The Lulav and the Hadas creates a very healthy balance where you can be certain it's going to be one way. The Hashpa of the Tzaddik will trickle down to the Rasha and not the other way around. And in the process, the Tzaddik will grow even higher. And the Beinonim will grow together with all of them. And it's so true. I look back in my day. In my day, that's how it was. When we went to yeshiva, there weren't so many students in those days. And that wasn't so long ago. Okay, but the population growth exploded exponentially in the last couple of years, whatever it is. You know, it wasn't like such a great big world. And there wasn't such scrutiny with social media like there is today. It was a very peaceful world, and you can get away with a lot of things. And that getting away was a very great, big advantage. It worked out to be a very, very great danger. Okay, we all know a lot of things have come to light today, the double-edged sword, have come to light today, which we realize were horrors. But it also was a very great advantage that things were able to be done that cannot be done today. And a lot of that has been, you had in many yeshivas a mix. You had a mix of very good people and people that were problematic, and you had a lot of people in between. And you don't find overall that the ones that were pure were turned off, were damaged. You don't find that. There are exceptions, of course, but you find adaraba, the people who were good got even better. And the people that were problematic, they by and large greatly improved. And today, by total separation, the people who are pure are not getting better. They're just, in fact, there's a danger. Where are they going? And the people that are problematic are getting, the problems are even greater. So, and the solution to say, well, the solution to say that you're going to cause harm, look at the Dalid Minim. The Torah did not tell you to put together the Lula, the Arava, and the Esrei. The Torah said, you're right, don't do that. That's taka dangerous. But when you have in the middle others, it changes the dynamic. It's not my fart. I'm telling you, I saw it in a very choshva sefer from Mechanich. It changes the dynamics. Okay, let's go to another idea.
Well, interestingly enough, I grew up in Chelsea, Rabbi Shlomo Tahani, Tatsal. Every single kid who went to that shul, which was full of all kinds of people, became more from a stage room. Every
right. single kid. No one went down. Only went up. Exactly. Okay, let's go to another idea. Now here, I want to ask a couple of questions, and most of the time when we ask questions, this is what I feel. I can't speak for you, but most of the time when we ask questions, unfortunately, the questions are usually greater than the answers. Okay, you always have the answers. You can give 100 answers, but the question still lingers in your mind. Doesn't really. In this instance, I feel personally that the answer is so good, it blows away the questions. Okay, as if the question, even the question is not even so important. Now, what am I referring to? Here's the question is not, it really is not, it's not such a strong question. You probably can develop, if you think enough, you probably can make the question much better. But let me just give you the example that I saw cited, the question that I saw cited. The question is, this week's parasha we learn about Sefir Asana. Right now, we're right smack in the middle of Sefir Asana. Right smack 27. Anyone can count Sfira today is 27. So right in the middle of Sfira Soimer. Immediately after we recite the Sfira, in every Siddur, it's required, you should say, Harachamon, Hu Yachazir Lanu Avoidas Beis Hamigdash L'Mekoymo, B'mher V'yomeinu Amein Selo. Why? Why do you say that? Why do you say that? Very simply. Because the Omer. Did we bring an Omer? No. Today is 27 days in the Omer. 27 days ago we brought the Omer. We're counting towards 50 to Shavuos. Sheva Shabbosai Tzvimos. So we just said the Omer, and we're just fooling ourselves. There is no Omer. We didn't bring an Omer. So Harachamon, Yachsin Lanu, Avoida, Space, Hamigdash, Lomakoma. You do a mitzvah, and the mitzvah is all about the Omer. Who are you fooling? But the truth is, almost all the mitzvahs are like that. By Pesach, Matzu, Morar. Tell me, when you eat the afikoymen, you say zechel migdash. And you can analyze almost every single mitzvah has an element of zechel migdash. Some more, some less. Now let me illustrate this with a halachic example, which makes a very big nafkamina. Let's talk about lulav and esrog. When you take the lulav and esrog, let's talk about what is the din d'oraisa of taking a lulav and esrog on Sukkos. Midoraisa, you only take it the first day. Bezman shebeis hamikdash hayakayim, there was no takana, even midrabanan, to take the lulav and esrog during the 6 days of Sukkos. You take the lulav and esrog one day, you're done. You're finished, you can now put it away, you're finished. The only place where you take the lulav and esrog all 7 days is if you're in the Beis HaMikdash. In the Azara, I'm not even so sure in the Old City, in Yerushalayim. The only time you take a lulav and esrog is when you're in the Beis HaMikdash. 7 days. So why then today do we take a lulav and esrog all 7 days? Zecher LeMikdash. The only reason why we're taking a lulav and esrog on day 2 through day 7 is zecher lemikdash. Now, when we take the lulav and esrog, do we make a shachyanu? So right away, because it says, how come we don't say when you take the lulav and esrog? Question, simple question. When you take the lulav and esrog on the third day chol hamoed, after you make the bracha, did you ever hear someone say, haracham on hu yachazil lanu avoidas beis hamikdash v'mumukoyim abim meher of yameinu amen? Never heard it. I never saw in any siddur, I never heard something. Why not? The only reason why you're taking it on day 3, day 2 through day 7 is because Zeichel Nish, you don't say it. But when you count the sphere, you say it. What's the difference? Let's go further. I'm going meinyanim, but we'll tie everything back together. I'll ask another question and everything will come together. When you take the lulav and esrog on the first day of Sukkos, do you make a shachyanu? Yes. Certainly do. When you count Sefira, do you make a Shechianu?
No.
Why not? Now some will answer, you do. When you make the Shechianu on Yom Tif, when you make the Shechianu by the Seder, on the second night, that Shechianu by the Kiddush goes also for the Omer. There are kunsim, there are different legal loopholes. That's a very weak answer. Weak answer. But generally, the assumption is, al derech pshat, don't look for kunsim. You do not make a shechianu when you count sfira. Why not? So if you look in the svarim, you know what they're going to tell you? They're going to tell you because it's agmas nefesh to count sfira. It's painful. Why is it painful? Because Asher Kedushana B'mitzvah to count Al Tzviras HaOmer. What Omer? What are you talking about? We didn't bring the Omer on Pesach. There is no Omer. It's fantasy. There is no Omer. Why is there no Omer? Because there's no Beis HaMikdash. Why is there no Beis HaMikdash? Because there are foxes dressed up like Palestinians on top of the Harabais. That's why there's no Beis HaMikdash. Well, we should blame ourselves. We're not on a spiritual level. Because we're not on a spiritual level, that's why we have this problem. Okay? We should really look inward. Okay? We're not Roy. So once we talk about the Omer, we're full of Agmas Nefesh. Agmas Nefesh. So we can't say Shechiyonu, which demands that we be Mole Simcha. How can you say Al Sfiras HaOmer, make a Shechiyonu, when there's no Beis HaMikdash? It's painful. Okay, nice answer. Let me ask you a question then. Sukkis, you make a Shechiyonu when you take the Lulav and Esrog? You certainly do. What happens if Sukkis falls out on Shabbos? When is the first time you take Lulav and Esrog if the first day of Sukkis comes out on Shabbos? The second day. Now, if we were living in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, would we even take Lulav and Esrog on the second day? We wouldn't. We wouldn't take it. That year, we wouldn't do it. It's an amazing thing. We wouldn't do it that year. That's the halacha. Okay, we wouldn't do it because Chazal said Shabbos too dangerous. You don't think it. What in the Beis HaMikdash? So you want to go to the Beis HaMikdash. So but we today Bizman Hazer, we take it all 7 days. And if the first day Sukkot comes out on Shabbos, we take it the second day. And guess what? On the second day when we take it, Halacha L'Maisa, do we make a Shechiyanu?
Yes.
What do you mean? There's no mitzvah d'oraisa on the second day of Sukkot to take Lulav and Esrog. The only reason why we're taking the Lulav and the Esrog on the second day of Sukkot is because purely Zecher L'Migdash. So when we take the Lulav and Esrog, right away we're saying, what am I doing this? Because when there was the Beis HaMikdash, in the Beis HaMikdash, we would take a Lulav and Esrog. But today we don't have it. So we're doing Zecher. Isn't that Agmas Nefesh? That we don't have a Beis HaMikdash?
But the Omer has to deal with the Beis HaMikdash.
Okay, giving an answer. Good, you're giving an answer. Very nice. That's one answer. But hear the question first. Okay, the question is not such a strong question. You're right, it's a weak question. I just want to use it as a springboard to bring out a point. It's a question. It's not a strong question, it's a weak question, but it's a question. And everyone deals with the question. And it's the reason why, because Rav Moshe Feinstein is, and everyone likes to give an answer. A lot of answers. Everyone gives an answer. But it's a question. The second day of Sukkot, Bizman, when Shabbos falls out on the first day, we make a Shechiyanu only because we're only doing the mitzvah because it's Zecher LeMikdash. But don't we have a rule that if it's Zecher LeMikdash, you don't make a Shechiyanu because of Agmas Nefesh? It's sad. It's a sorrowful thing. And that's why we don't make a Shechiyanu with Ksiras HaOmer. So why don't we make a Shechiyanu when we take a little bit of Esrog on the second day for the first time when it's Zecher LeMikdash? So Rav Moshe gives one answer, and he's Rav Moshe says, and I already forgot the let me just give the general answers are loyplug. Since in a regular year we take it the first day, it's not holy in the Beis HaMikdash. Chazal did not want to differentiate between the year when the first day falls out on Shabbos, where it does not fall out. So we take it. We take it. Midin loy plug. The other, I think, Rav Moshe's. The other answer is because it's not 100% connected to the Omer, to the Beis HaMikdash. It's indirectly connected. When it comes to the Sviras HaOmer, the words are the counting from the bringing of the Omer, which is a korban that is offered in the Beis HaMikdash. Lulav and Esrog has nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash. It just happens to be, you take the Lulav and Esrog, and in the Beis HaMikdash, you take it for 7 days, and outside you take it for 1 day. There's a difference in halacha when there is, when there is not, but it's not a sacrifice. It's not an offering that's brought in the Beis HaMikdash. It's related to the Beis HaMikdash, but it's not 100% directly connected to the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore there are grounds for leniency that we can still make the Shechiyanu, even though it's a Zecher LeMikdash. There are many more answers. You can split hairs and give many different answers. But I want to give you another answer, which I think blows the question away and opens up a whole new understanding, a whole new insight into other areas of halacha where we also say Yehi Ratzon that the Beis HaMikdash should be rebuilt, namely after we finish Shmoneh Esrei every single day. Kirotzay milufanech Hashem lochim veelokei avoseinu sheyibone beis hamikdash b'mehera of yomeinu v'seinich alkeinu b'sarisach v'shem lavo. What? Why after every Shmoneh Esrei do you recite this Yehi Ratzon? I know what you're going to tell me, because Tefillah is Kneged Korbanos, and Mishalma Fadim Sefaseinu. So therefore, that's a good answer. But, you know, there are a lot of mitzvahs. Almost every mitzvah you can say that about. Like Lulav and Esrei, you don't say Yehi Ratzon, you can say that about every mitzvah you can say. Why Tefillah more than anywhere else? So here's the answer. The answer is, there's a very big difference between, let's say, let's make believe Lulav and Esrei was actually a carbon. I'm going to make believe now. Let's say when you take the Lulav and Esrei, it's ki'ilu, you bring a carbon on the Mizbeach. But you don't say, you say a Shachyanu. Zecher lemikdash, good. Shachyanu v'kimanu v'gen lazman hazeh. Here's the difference. The Omer, counting of the Omer begins with what? With the Omer. And what does the Pasuk say in this week's parasha? Let me read to bring out the point. You bring the Omer on the first day Pesach, Usfartem lechem imochres haShabbos, miyoim haviachem es Omer hatenufa, Sheva Shabbos sois tmimois, tiena, ad mimochras, until 50 days later, mimochres haShabbos haShvis, tisru chamishim yom. And what do you do on that day? What do you do on day 50? V'kraftem mincha chadosha laHashem. You bring the shtei halechem. And the pasuk goes on to spell out, even though this is not Parashas Pinchas here. Okay, this is not the parasha of Korbanos. Mibosh vaseichem taviu lechem tinufa shtayim shnei esroinim soiles tiyena chometz teofena bikurim laHashem mikraftim al alechem. Oh, a carbon, Korbanos, wow, this is not even where it belongs. Shiva kivosim tinimim b'nei shanu far ben makar echol ve'elim shnoyim yu oilu HaShem min chosam. The sphira is a count between a carbon in the beginning and a carbon at the end. In other words, it's a sandwich. The mitzvah of Sfira is a mitzvah that takes us back to the Beis HaMikdash both before and after. If we were living this mantra Beis HaMikdash HaYakayam, we were thinking back, wow, only a few days ago, 27 days ago, we were in the Beis HaMikdash, and we witness the offering of the Omer. And only in a couple of days from now, it's going to be Shavuos. And we will witness with our own eyes the bringing of the Shtei Halechem. Wow. The past and the future. We're counting back in our memory from a glorious moment of the Hashruas Hashchin in the Beis HaMikdash. And we're looking forward for another experience in the Beis HaMikdash. Now we're in Galus, and we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, and we come to do the mitzvah, to mimic the mitzvah. And we're looking backwards. Ah, 27 days ago, where were we? Orlando. There was no Beis HaMikdash. Agmas Nefesh. Nu, Masha Hoya, Kvar Hoya. I'm sad, nu. But I'm optimistic. Future is coming. What's the future? In a couple of days, it's going to be Shavuos. Now, let's be Aval Pisha Yismamea. Im Kol Zachakilei B'chol Yom Sheyavah. But you have to be practical also. You have to also, because that's very clear. Is it very likely that there will be a Beis HaMikdash when Shavuos arrives? I'm not trying to be happy. Kairos Chas Shalom. We're hoping there will be. We're hoping that there will be. We yearn. But there, you have to be practical also. The likelihood that there's going to be a Beis HaMikdash in a couple of days from now, and we're going to breathe the Shtei HaLechem, is not very realistic. We yearn that it should be so. But we have to live in a real world, not in a world of fantasy. And it's a process. We know the coming of Mashiach, the building of the Beis HaMikdash, is a complex process. The Mashiach can come at a moment's notice, definitely. But we're still human beings, and we are accustomed to a process of getting. And right now, it doesn't seem derech hateva that it's going to happen. So what are we looking forward to? I have nothing to look forward to. When you have nothing, when you look back in the past and it's dark, and you look to the future, it's dark. That is the definition of agmas nefesh. Lulav. It's only the past. It's Zeichel HaMikdash. It's a one-time event. Here I have, it's a lulav. It's the second day of Sukkot. I'm taking the lulav. Zeichel HaMikdash. If there was a Beis HaMikdash, when there was a Beis HaMikdash, I took the lulav in Eshud. Okay. But you know, maybe next year, you have a rosy future. L'shana haba b'Yerushalayim. L'shana haba. A year is a very long time. In a year, politically, Trump, I heard Trump say, why can't the Jews build a temple? Who's stopping them? I read that. Trump said, he said, you want Jews, it's your state, you want to go build a temple? Build a temple. Who's stopping you? What, they're stopping you? I moved the embassy. So build a temple. Who's stopping you? You have a question where the Mizbeach is? You have a Sanhedrin. Take the best you got. You make a halachic decision. There's a halachic process. You take a majority vote. This one says it's over here. This one says 2 inches this way, 2 inches that way. You do the best you can. The Shulchan Aruch allows you to make a halachic decision to decide where the Mizbeach should be. You need to go where? Tcheles? No, you do the best that you can. There are halachic ways that it can be achieved. Who's stopping you? A year is a very long time. Al derech hateva, it could happen in a year. But 50 days, 30 to 20 from now, it's not so simple that it's going to happen so quickly. You take the lulav. No, I have agmas nefesh. But I'm optimistic for the future. Memela. You can say, Shechiyanu v'kimanu v'giyanu lazman hazeh. But when you're trapped in the middle of darkness, when I look to my right, it's dark. I look to my left, it's dark. I look back. Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvayisav yalsviyas ha'oimer. What oimer? What are you talking about? There was no oimer. Oh, we're coming now. Usfartem lechem. Sheva shabosais tzimimois. We're coming now. The mincha chadasha. What are you talking about, mincha chadasha? In a few days from now, we're going to bring a mincha chadasha. Halavai, halavai. But come on, let's be practical. It's dark in the past, dark in the future. This is agmas nefesh. And when you have agmas nefesh, you can't make a shechiyanu. And you can't make a shechiyanu, you have to say, instead of making a shechiyanu, harachamon, hu yachazir lonu avoidas beis hamikdash l'mekoyma b'mehera v'yameinu amein tzela. The harachamon is the exchange, the replacement for an apology. I couldn't make a shechiyanu, nebuch, because I'm moli agmas nefesh. So I'm going to say instead the harachamon. Let's now go to davening. After every davening, Shmona Eshe, you got to say, Nachamo, Nachamo. Hirotzani milfanach Hashem elokeinu leyavsi sheibane beis hamigdash meher v'yameinu. It's the zelbazach. Same thing. When you come and daven Shmona Eshe, what is your Shmona Eshe? Well, b'zman, shoye beis hamigdash, we brought the Talmid shel shachar. Shachris. No, today, did you bring the Talmid shel shachar today? It's past the zman. It's too late to bring the Talmid shel shachar. No. Agmas nefesh. We didn't bring Talmid Shel Shachar. But there's hope. It's soon going to be 1:45. At 1:45, we're going to bring the Talmid. Well, not going to bring it a little bit later on. Mincha Ketana. We're going to bring this afternoon. When you come back from mikvah, put on your Shabbos clothing, we're going to bring the Talmid Shel Ben Harbayim. Really? Really? You really believe that? Halavai? Halavai? Are you betting your last dollar that's going to be like that? I don't think so. You got to have to be a practical person in this world also. So look at that. You finish davening the shachris, and you reflect. We lost out. A lost opportunity. But listen, let's be happy. Let's be optimistic, because this mincha. Mincha's around the corner. It's a few minutes from now. We'll have a mincha. That's a mincha. The mincha is a tamid shel bein harbayim. Doesn't seem like we're going anywhere. That is Agmas Nefesh. When the past is dark and the future is dark, the immediate future, I mean by we say like the immediate or the near future is dark, that's Agmas Nefesh. And when you have Agmas Nefesh, you know what you say? And now it takes on a whole new meaning when we mention the past. Why do we do this? We're praying for the future, reflecting back on the past. We have the full version. The Harachim on after we bring the Omer is the abridged version. We're just having tzar. But when you finish davening, what are you reflecting back on the past? Kimei olam, what do you mean kimei olam ochashahu? Masha hoya kvar hoya. What are you reflecting on the past? The answer is, that's what's on your mind. That's the reason, the justification to say the Yehi Ratzon is only because you're in a matziv of agmas nefesh. Agmas nefesh means you're surrounded. You're surrounded on both sides. It's very in halacha. There are many examples of what it means to be surrounded. We discuss when you get an aliyah. Are you allowed to talk when you get an aliyah? You make the bracha. Asher bochar banu mikol ha'amim v'nasan lanu es Torah. So are you allowed to talk when you're out in the middle of the aliyah? No way. No way. When you lay in the Megillah, me'ikar hadin. You make a bracha on the Megillah, and in the middle of the Megillah, you want to take a break. And you want to, you know, have a conversation. You want to answer the telephone. Are you allowed to me'ikar hadin? Yes. What's the pshat? How could it be? When I lay, the answer is, when you get an aliyah, there's a bracha lefoneho and a bracha achareho. It's a sandwich. There's asher bochar banu, asher nosan lanu. You're not allowed to be mafsik because you're in a zone. When you lay in the Megillah, the bracha you make at the end is not a real, that's not a bracha on the Megillah. That's stam a bracha. Haravesh Rivein was not a bracha on the stam a birchas hashavach. There's only one bracha. Only one bracha. So you said the bracha. No, so you do it little by little. Like you take a piece of food, you make a shahakol, you take a sip, you can have a conversation, and you go back and you drink, you continue where you left off. No problem. So you make a bracha rishayna, and that's it. It's open-ended. Open-ended. When you're open-ended, there's no agmas nefesh. When you're closed, you're bracketed in, you're locked in on both sides, that creates a new dynamic. And your perception is entirely different. Okay, let's conclude with one last vart. In this week's parash again, Sfir, so appropriate about Sfir, we're going to make a ha'ara. It's not a complete idea, and you have to appreciate to fill in the idea, but I think there's something new, which I was not aware of, and I think it opens up a whole new understanding, a whole new emphasis in the sphere. In this week's parasha, we learn about sphere, and the words the Torah used for sphere is that we should count it's Sfaitachem Machas Shabbos Sheva Shabbosois Temimois. Where else is the mitzvah of sphere count listed in Parashas Re'eh? What does it say there in Parashas Re'eh? Usfartem lochem sheva. It says that sheva shiva shavuos tisparloch. Shiva shavuos tisparloch. There are two differences. It does not say the word tamimos. There's no mention of shlemos. It doesn't say tamimos. Number two, it doesn't say the word Shabbos. It says a shavua, a week. Sheva, a shiva, shavua, tispar, shiva, shavuos, tispar loch. Shiva, shavuos. What is the difference between a shavua and a Shabbos? What's the difference? Why, when it comes to a shavua, is the word temimois omitted, not mentioned? And why, when it comes to Shabbos, is it mentioned? You can darshan all you want. I want to point at one ha'ara. Love on as a question. Simple question. I once told this a very big Talmud Chacham. Very big Talmud Chacham. It blew his mind. He totally went berserk. about this thing I'm telling you now, this little idea. This thing I'm telling you, this little point I'm telling you right now, he went crazy and told me I have to bring him the Sefer. And he was really diff after me until I showed him all the source for this. And he used this all the time. And what am I telling you? Question. Why is by Sheva Brachas, when a person gets married, we don't apply the principle of Niksas Hayoyim Kikuloi? We know Rachmana Litzlon, when it comes to Avelus, the seventh day is the freebie. It's over. Shachris, David Shachris, he sit for 10 seconds, he get up, it's all over. Niksas Hayoyim Kikuloi. When it comes to Shemitah, when it comes to so many areas of Halacha, Shavis, many areas of Halacha, there's always a principle of Niksas Kikuloi. And the tail end, the beginning and the end, you can always chisel away. You can chisel away and Niksas Hayoyim Kikuloi at the beginning and at the end. Yet, when it comes to marriage, person gets married and he's now observing the Shiva Sinei HaMishnah, it's the last day. So you can say to your Kala, listen, I've celebrated already 6 whole days with you. Enough! Today is day 7. I'll eat with you breakfast. And I can't sit here anymore. I can't take you anymore.
That's why you didn't like it.
Why don't we say, after breakfast on day 7 of the Shiva Sinei HaMishnah, see you later.
Because she might say it.
See you later. So she'll say it to you. She could say it to you. The halacha says, too bad. Too bad. You have to rejoice with your kala a full 7 days. And you can make brachos. If you have a party, and you have panim chadashos, you got to make 7 blessings. It's a lot of shemos, 7 blessings. Why don't we apply the principle of niksas hayoyim kikulos? You know the answer, you'd be shocked the answer. Love, when was the first Sheva Brachos recorded in history?
Lavan.
He married Rachel. He said to him, you cheated me, I wanted to marry, I married Leah. I wanted to marry Rachel. Yeah. All right, I'll give you her also. But in the meantime, Malay Shavuazois. Malay. First finish the Sheva Brachos, and then you'll marry Rachel. He used the word male. Sheva Brachos has to be mole. Mole. Male Shavuazais. There's a lot of Torah on this. Okay, you can go, a lot of ton of stuff, not the point I want to make. Male Shavuazais. Lavan, he had a different word for Tanimos. You know what his word was? Male. So now the question is, when it comes to the word Shabbos, Sheva Shabbosos Tamimos. When it comes to the Shavuos, now again, that's 7 days. Don't confuse the Rashi talks about the difference between 7 years and 7 days, but it's all related. It's all related. A week and a week, it's the same, but there's 7 days of Shavuos. So now the question is, when it comes to Parashas Re'eh, it should say Shavuos Mleim Tispar Loch. The parallel for Sheva Shabbosos Tamimos should be Shiva Shavuos Meleos Tispar Loch. So what, now the question is now, what happened to the word Tamimos? What happened to the word Meleos? The answer is, here's the difference. You learn from Lavan quite a bit. Also puts the whole Lavan in a new perspective. BK Lavan Lakers Arami Oved Aviz, the first day right before Sfira. When you say to Philip a week, what was Lavan's perspective for the 7 days? Listen, you have a sentence. It's like you're in jail. Oh, the week here is in front of you. Serve your time. It's black. Make believe you're already at the end and just fill it up. When you say a Shavua that has to be mole, even though it has not yet occurred, make believe in your mind you're already at the end and just get it over with, fill it up. When you talk about a Shabbos, Tamimois, you're in the beginning. You're in the beginning, and Tamimois has a connotation of every second that you're proceeding forwards, not backwards. Mole has a connotation, you're on top of the cup, I'm here, I see the whole thing in front of me. Right? So kos mole. I'm a kos mole. I'm going to, because it's full. I'm from the outside. Tamimois would be if you're from the inside, if you're a cockroach inside, if you're an ant crawling in there, and you see the water being filled up.
Amen.
More and more, it's coming upon you. It's coming upon you. How do we count? Do we count 1 to 50, or do we count 50 down to 1? 1 to 50. Because 1 to 50 is Shabbosos Tamimois. We're standing in the beginning, and we're filling up. If it would, the mitzvah would be Shiva Shavuos Mileois. So here we are, Pesach. This block of time is wasted time. No weddings, no shave, nothing's happening during this period of time. So it's as if the time is like a sentence, a prison sentence. So just get it over with. Let's fill it up and count down until the end is over. Then it would be 50 counting down. It's a burden. It's already here, 50, right here. Just get over with 50, 49, 48, 47. The Torah says there's no such thing. That's not what Shavuos is about. Shavuos, don't look at Shavuos like a burden. Okay, it's 50 days. We got to get it over with. You take out the spirituality of something when you make believe it already happened and just go through the motions to get it over with. If you yearn and anticipate for something, every second, as someone told me, years didn't tell me no more. When he first is a very wealthy person, he travels a lot, all over the country in business. When he first, he enjoyed the travel. It was delicious. He loved the experience of packing and the fancy luggage. He's a connoisseur on all the different expensive types of luggage you could have. And then he would get these very expensive car services. And you come to the airport, go to all the boutiques, and go to the duty-free shops, go on the airplane, this, that. He enjoyed the experience of traveling to the destination to go to his business meetings. And now, it's a sinas modas, this experience of traveling. So, Torah, don't let it become like, not just a necessary evil. Enjoy the trip. Enjoy the trip. When you enjoy the trip, that's called a Shabbos. Shabbos means you're coming, you have to define it in better words, but it's a whole experience. Every second of getting there counts. Your anticipation, you're yearning for your destination. Then you count from 1 to 50. But if it's a burden, I can't wait for it to be over. It's just a necessary evil. It's a Shavua. And you just got to get it over with, Male. Lovan was poison. Arami oived ovi. Pesach starts out with the beginning of the Haggadah. Arami oived ovi. What was the first thing the Shver said to the Edim? Meir was the first thing. He wasn't a Shver until he married her. The first words the Shver said to the Edim is, Male Shavuos. How does our, and then we start Sphira. And how does our Sphira end? Sheva Shabbosois Tamimois. We go from Pesach with an attitude, a clean attitude, an attitude of love on. We break away from that plainness, that look at life that is just a necessary evil to get through this world, to Shavuos, where this world is an opportunity to be mashlin our neshama with tamimais. Have a wonderful Shabbos. All the best.
Why didn't you like the work?